The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 6th day of March, 2013. The Dow is up 20 points. We're well off the highs now. S&P down about a half a point. NASDAQ down 4. Gold up $3.80. Crude down 87 cents a barrel. Certainly off the highs of the day, but the market probing today into, well, for the Dow at least, and the Dow transports into higher than ever territory. In fact, that's the name of the blog post tonight, or it was going to be last night, but I never finished it. Trading where man has never traded before. And that's where the Dow was yesterday and earlier today. It's levels not seen before. If you go back and look at history, anytime the market gets into that area, you just go look at a chart. Now, you tell me what you see. Here's where we put our initial tweet on the S&P at 26.25. Initially, we were just looking for a run here to 30. It got wings, and we had to pull down our highest weekly trading zone, which was 54.55, put that on the chart. And now, this is a big field to run around in between 31 and 54. What this means, the weekly trading zones are emailed out to CFRN partners prior to the beginning of the trading week, Monday morning, before the market opens. And once they're out, they're cast in stone. Now, so far this week, we haven't seen a lot of action off of the zones because the market has just sort of been hanging right here in sort of a suspended animation. And we've got to watch these lows here. That's going to be, let me just draw a line. It's sort of a pivotal kind of an area right there. It's for the S&P. On this initial move up, swing high. On the pullback, swing low right here. Okay, see that? Now, as price approaches this area, we would expect that to be pretty good support. It's not a weekly trading zone, but it's a known area of support. 1, 2, 3, 4, well, better than a day. Let's get a day marker up here. There we go. Okay. So we'll watch this come back. Now let's go look at the Dow and see how it's shaping up. Okay. Kind of the same thing here, except there's more room to go on the downside. If we come in here, that same swing low point would be down below our weekly trading zone, because see, when the Dow broke through the weekly zone, pulled back. Now we have a zone overhead on the Dow as well. That zone would be 14,390. This is the distance we have to cover still on the Dow. This is an area that if it's broken, we would expect considerably lower prices. In fact, we would suspect that this rally might potentially be over for a couple of days. Would that mean the entire rally is done? No, not at all. I mean, we've been climbing for how long? A really long time. And the last major shakeout sell-off we had was back in November of last year. And that formed the bottom of this price channel. We rallied into the end of the year, sold off a little bit right at the very end, and then gapped into the new year. And since we gapped into the new year, it's been up, up, and away, with the exception of right here, Fed notes release. I believe that was that day. And now we've gotten back on top. See, we were below the trend line, on top of the trend line, below the trend line. And if we close today up here, we'll be back on top of this trend line. People go, why do you still have that trend line there? Well, this is why. Because price is just kind of wrapping itself around it. It's made an attempt to break away, but it couldn't. It rushed right back up to it. So we'll leave it there. A couple headlines to cover, and then we'll go talk to Michael. Get a recap of the day. Let me just say, we had a great day in the live trading room, and Michael's even got an infographic that I think he's going to show you. I don't know if he plans to show it or not, but if he does, I just stole his thunder. So, but anyway, it's a nice infographic. There's been rumors about a Google delivery service for a while, but apparently the search giant is now primed to launch its own cheaper facsimile of Amazon Prime. It's going to be called Google Shopping Express. It's a same-day delivery service, same day, that will cost about $64 to $69 per year, some $10 to $15 cheaper than Amazon Prime, according to TechCrunch. Now, the service is reportedly being headed by Google's e-commerce product manager, Tom Fallows. Google recently bought Channel Intelligence, a provider of technology to companies to enable customers to buy their products online, and BufferBox, which allows businesses to drop off packages at a location where customers can pick them up. Okay, Amazon Prime. Michael, is your household a member of Amazon Prime?
I don't think so.
All right. For those of you that are, you already know how it works. You pay $79 a year. And a lot of your shipping from things that you order from Amazon ships free or at a very reduced price. You get some streaming content, some movies, some TV shows. And the pitch on Amazon is, and they come right out and say this, you're paying $8 a month for Netflix. So they do the math. I guess that's like $96. They said if you go with Amazon Prime, you can get rid of Netflix. Now, that's a bold statement to make when the Amazon library is about 25% of the Netflix library. Nonetheless, they actually use those words and that math to support their case. Well, some people order some odd things from Amazon.com, like toilet paper. Okay? I was on there the other night, and I looked, and I knew that we needed that product in our home. And I was going to be buying some at a local store, so I checked out the price. And I couldn't believe how cheap it was compared to what I was going to pay at the store. I said, you know what? It's time for me to do this. And so I was going to place an order on Amazon. Plus, there was a movie I wanted to watch, and I didn't want to pay $7 on iTunes to watch the movie. So I was hoping I could stream it for free or at a cheaper price through the Amazon Prime deal. So I get ready to check out. My shipping's like $22. Well, that takes away everything I was going to save by ordering from them, and that's when I remembered, oh, yeah, the Amazon Prime, you're going to get the free shipping or the greatly reduced shipping. Okay. So I said, I'll take the Amazon Prime. And it says, well, here, sign up, you know, for a 30-day free trial. I was like, well, I was just going to go ahead and do it, but okay. So I sign up for the free trial. And then it tells me, sorry, you must have at least one item in your shopping cart that qualifies you to take the free trial. And I'm like, well, you know what? Okay, forget about it. I know I want to just do it, so, you know, I don't even need that. I just want to pay for it. Now, guys, this is the truth. I'm sitting there with my credit card. Jeff Bezos, listen up. I said you were the smartest guy on earth after, what's his name, over at Apple, passed. I may have to retract that statement. Yeah, Steve Jobs. I may have to retract that statement. I was sitting there with my tablet in one hand and my credit card in the other, and I was desperately trying to pay you $79 to become a member of Amazon Prime, and you can't do it. You've got to take the stinking free trial first. And in order to take the free trial first, you got to go find some item in that massive store that has some little silly icon under it that says Prime Approved or some nonsense. So I found an item that I thought was Prime Approved. I said, I'll just buy this. I don't even want it or need it, but apparently it's the only way I can get the free shipping on my toilet paper and get to see the movie. So I get back through the whole checkout process again, and it turns out that was the wrong little icon. And that item that I had selected was not qualified. And so then I'm like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. I'm a grown man with a credit card, and I want to pay $79 to buy this Prime service. You can't do it. Now, that's ridiculous. Some shareholders need to get all up in his grill and say, Jeff, you're really smart, and you've worked really hard. But, you know, sometimes you're just too close to the metal. You can't see everything. And apparently, everybody over there at Amazon has missed this because they won't go hungry without my $79, but I don't think I'm going to give them my $79. If they called me up on the phone today and said, Mr. Reeves, we're really sorry, you know, I might break down. But so that's been my experience with Prime. If you guys have had a better experience, I'd love to hear it. Let me know. Type it into the chat box. By the way, if you can't see the screens, go to the homepage of CFRN.net, and on the right-hand side, click the red, white, blue button that says click here, and follow the instructions on the next page, and you can see the charts and all that we talk about. Now, this has got to make you think twice. Michael, I don't know, you don't read the newspaper a lot, I don't think, but you may have heard that the Chinese hackers have been busy of late.
No.
You've not heard about that?
I have not heard about
that. You really don't read the newspaper. Yeah. The Chinese hackers have hacked everybody from Walt Disney to Ma Bell to the Oval Office. And apparently, in fact, Google published a map that shows the location of where the hackers are in China. And we, as a nation, can absolutely do nothing about it. But, okay, so we know that we're under attack. We know we're being hacked left and right. Chinese internet search engine Baidu launched a free Windows security suite today in the company's latest effort to crack foreign markets. Will international customers use antivirus software from a Chinese company? China-based internet powerhouse Baidu, second only to Google, is betting they will. The company's new English language Baidu Antivirus 2013 launched yesterday. The free, free Windows product uses a mixture of desktop and cloud security functions, according to Kevin Chen at The Motley Fool. Although Baidu is largely unknown to North American users, the Chinese Google boasts impressive name recognition in Asian markets. Baidu was named to Fast Company's Fast 50 in 2008 and is also targeting the African market with a smartphone browser launched in partnership with France Telecom. Now, here we there's not one word of warning in this news piece. It's more like a sales piece. It says, hey, there's a brand new antivirus software that you can get from China for free. No mention that they've been hacking us left and right, all levels of government and military. But you should go. There's no warning in here. Like, be careful, you know, they've been really trying to. Can you imagine it, the people who will just go, oh, free antivirus software, Baidu. No one will even know it's where it's from. And I'm not saying there's anything bad in it. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're offered this awesome new antivirus software, you might want to take a close look at it before you just dive in. Google has struck a deal with Warner Music in their endeavor to provide streaming music. I'm going to skim over these last couple here pretty quick. They have implanted some interfaces in monkeys' brains that lets them control computers with their brain. You know, this Google Glass that Sergi wants us to put on by the end of the year, probably within a couple years. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. They're already doing it with the monkeys. Three pigs and three roost monkeys. Let's not leave the pigs out. They've been at this for 16 months, and they say it's working pretty good. So if you don't want to wear that, for those of you that have been worried about wearing the glasses, we got something for you. This is very interesting. A federal judge decided yesterday that a 5-year-old lawsuit against tech mogul Mark Cuban, accused of insider trading, is going to trial. Now, he's a billionaire, and he thought this had gone away. It's been 5 years. And he probably will worm his way out of it. P.S. note to everybody, I'm not a big Mark Cuban fan. It's a long story, and if you've been around any length of time, you know why. Securities and Exchange Commission filed suit in 2008 against Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks and former Yahoo and Broadcast.com executive, for allegedly relying on confidential information when he sold his stake in search engine Mama.com and avoided a $750,000 loss. Now, if you've been around a really long time, you also know about Mama.com, and you know why I have absolutely no use for the creators of Mama, quote-unquote, the mother of all search engines. The Cuban has stated in the past that he's done nothing wrong, saying that the government's claims are false, and they will be proven to be so. Judge Sidney Fitzwater denied Cuban's request to dismiss the suit, and has rescheduled the trial for June. The SEC accuses Cuban of selling his Mama.com stake after learning that the company was about to issue new shares. Well, I'm glad somebody was notified. In a private offering, news that often leads to stocks plummeting? You better believe it. Cuban's lawyers have argued that the insider trading laws did not prohibit him from selling his stock, according to the New York Times. Good luck, Mark. I wish you the very best. We could talk about gold going to 3,000, six bizarre taxes that could pass this year. There's a Vanity Fair profile out today on Bill Ackman. It's supposed to be very interesting. I'll leave it at that. Go read it. And the final thing today, we always talk about the iPhone and iOS. This is for the Android users in the audience. Go to the Google Play Store today. Google is giving Android users a bunch of free songs, free apps, and free music. It's hard to believe that Google's Play Store is only a year old. Now, the Play Store is the equivalent of the Apple App Store. Google calls theirs the Play Store. To celebrate its first birthday, Google is giving away free and discounted items through the Play Store like music, books, magazines, hotel deals, games, and TV shows. Google's Play Store is now packed with over 500,000 apps for Android devices. It has secured deals with networks to sell TV shows and movies, and it even has a built-in web store for Google to sell its own tablets, smartphones, and laptops like the Nexus 7 or the new Chromebook Pixel. And that's it for the news, Michael. It's all yours.
All right. Let me find... I've got to find the thing I need here to drag the charts over to me. Oops. Yes.
Ah, that's funny, Frank. Frank says, so Cuban would sell his mama to save a buck. That is really funny. Yeah, that mama.com. That was before Google. Mama.com was around before Google was even, had even been thought of. Well, it may have been thought of, but it wasn't an actual search engine. Infographic time.
There it is. It's not, yeah. Let me minimize it and bring it back up. A bit of memory issue there. Dun, dun, dun. There it is. This is not including today's gains. But, and you know what, maybe I should start the recording. Why don't I do that? All right. Yeah, I know you like that color green. There's two colors green in there, though, Frank. All right, let me get the recording going here. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, Wednesday, March 6th, 2013. Let's see, we have, well, let me go over the results of the live trading room. It took us 3 minutes to get our 2 points this morning, 3 minutes in one trade. The net, or the gross, I should say, of the live trading room this morning was... we made 10 ticks on the crude oil, 12 ticks on gold, and 2 ticks on soybeans. We had 6 trades altogether this morning for a gross, that means excluding commissions. We were $245 a contract this morning in the live trading room. There was a lot more available than that. I know we have partners that did multiples of what I did this morning in the live trading room. And that's the way it actually should be, you know, because I'm focused on, you know, first I'm focused on making the 2 points, you know, adding some profit, and then I'm also focused on answering everyone's questions in the live trading room and, you know, trading as many markets as I can, putting on as many trades as I can, but now, making sure everybody's questions are answered.
Before I mute my mic, let me just say one thing. So you, in the first 3 minutes, you had 2 points, and that's $100 per contract.
Yes.
Okay. And then after 6 trades in the whole 2 hours, and because we're committed to continue trading for the full 2 hours because we have partners in there and people on a free trial, and we're committed to teaching and training for the full 2 hours. So the gross was, I believe you said 240?
245.
After commissions, that probably knocked it down. Well, let's use $8 as a round turn figure. So let's knock $50 bucks off of that. What are we left with as a net?
We 195.
Okay. So one trade. Now, how many trades? It took one trade to get that 2 points initially, right?
Correct.
Okay. So one trade, $100 per contract. Five trades later, $200 per contract. Now, both positive, both good. I just want to point out to you, because I know that a lot of you who come to the live trading room and you see us trade multiple markets and you see us continue to trade after we've already got 2 points for the day, we run the risk of instilling in you some idea that that's what you should do, that you should try to trade seven different markets, markets you don't know anything about, markets that are really fast, markets that have high margins, and that you should just trade as, you know, if something moves, trade it. Okay. That's not our point. Our point is to teach you a simple trading method that allows you to get a couple points a day, okay? But we really do encourage you to just turn it off after that. Go to sim. Go to the movies. Go to the park. We keep trading because we have to, okay? We're committed to trading for the full 2 hours. So pick a market or a couple markets and don't try to do what Michael does. Don't try this at home. That's what I wanted to say. All right. Back to you.
All right.
Back
thanks.
To you, Boston.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to, and that came up in this morning's live trading room. You know, if we were just trying to make the 2 points, then we would have been done in 3 minutes. One trade, we would have been done. As a matter of fact, a lot of guys, if they were just trying to make the 2 points, would have been done in a couple of minutes and with one trade. I know, you know, the question was, so how, you know, when do we stop trading? And, you know, that's not up to me. That's up to you. You know, we can give you recommendations. We can say, you know what, if you're confident trading and if you're making money every day, if you're consistently making money trading, you know, if you have a time limit, we'll say, or even a trade number, like let's say you don't want to place more than 8 trades a day, regardless of where you stand after 8 trades. You know, that's something that you can do. If you say, I'm going to trade for 2 hours every day, like I do, I'm going to trade for 2 hours every day, then, you know, in the live trading room, that's what I do. I trade for 2 hours in the live trading room, and then, you know, I'm done with the results in the live trading room anyway. But if you wanted to just go, you know, set a point goal for yourself, if you wanted to get 2 points per day, then there you have it. Get your 2 points and just turn the computer off and go away. You know, go do something else. There's no reason for you to sit in there. If you're consistently making the 2 points, okay? If you're consistently making the 2 points and, you know your plan, you execute your plan, you know, correctly all the time, then there's no reason to sit in there. All right. Now, that said, there's a couple things to go over. One is on the month so far, we are plus $1,325 in the 4 days traded. That's on 29 trades. 29 trades it took us to get to plus $1,325. Now, let's just do the math, and we'll say 29 times 8 is $232. We'll apply that to the total, 1,325. I did that wrong. Hang on. 29, and we're using 8 is a high number for the commissions, the round term commissions. 8 is a high number, but we're just using that to make sure that everybody's pretty much covered in here. Okay. Why did I do that again? Anyway, 29 times 8, 232, and 1325, 1,093. So after 4 days trading this month in the live trading room, we're up $1,093 after commissions. And that's using $8 round turn as a commission. And, you know, we don't pay $8 a commission, but that's what it is. We're just using that number. Could you have done better? Yes, easily. Could you have gotten your 2 points and been done? Why, yes, you could have done that as well. If you had just taken 2 points as soon as it was available in the live trading room, you would have been $410 and 8 trades so far this month. Okay? That's where you would have been. That's, you know, it would have taken you an average of, it looks like an average of about, I don't know, 10 minutes per day so far this month. But that's, you know, the goal isn't to do it as quickly as possible. The goal is to just do it and keep track of how long it took us, right? It's not to get in there and you know, take extraordinary risk to take it, you know, to get the 2 points as quickly as possible. As a matter of fact, the risk we take is the same on every single trade. Okay? It includes all the trades. It includes all the trades. Every single trade. Break even, flat, loss, everything. Okay? That's all the commissions. And let's see. All right, I just wanted to make sure I answered the questions that were in there. Now, I wanted to go over this this little graphic. Starting in October, and that's not including October's gain, if you had a $10,000 account in October, just taking the trades from the live trading room, the first month, November, this was our gain. Add on the December's gain, this is where you would be. Add on January's gains, this is where you would be. February's gains, this is where you would be. And this is as of yesterday. So if you add another, what did we make? $245. Add another $245 on there. It'd be about $26,700, roughly, is where you would be so far for the month of March. That's what it looks like in the live trading room. It's excluding commissions. So if you want to take, I don't know, let's take $1,000. We'll just call it $1,000 even off of it. I mean, you could take it off of the top. But there were times where we traded more and times where we traded less. So just if you say you take $1,000 off the top of it in here for last month. Well, last month we said 900. That was excessive in here. Now, let's say five months. Let's say $5,000 altogether, and that is excessive in commissions. Still not too bad. All right. That is what it looks like. I made that little thing last night. I'll try to keep it updated, but you know, I might update it weekly, not daily. And we'll see. All right. Now, back to the actual trades today. We were plus 10 on crude oil, plus 12 on gold, and plus 2 on soybeans. We took 2 trades on beans, 3 trades on gold, and 2 trades on crude oil, I believe. May have only taken 1 trade on crude oil, but I think we took 6 trades overall. All right, let's start out with the crude. Okay, this is where we made our 2 points initially. All right, it was way back here, right here. On the open, we had the down close below the trend line right here, and we shorted it and took our 2 points right there. You can see there were more opportunities in here, but I was answering questions and stuff when all that was happening. So I missed all these opportunities. Now, the trade setup, let me go through it for you. The one that I used in this particular instance is this one right here. Okay, this is a crude chart from a while ago. You can see it's not even the same symbol anymore. It's GCLH, and this is GCLJ. So we've now changed contracts, but it's the same thing. It, you know, it's always the same, regardless of the market, regardless of the symbol. It's always the same. In this case, we had so much momentum that it didn't pull back and hit the BBC. So we didn't have a trade off the BBC right there. We ended up having a trade on the close down below the trend line. All right, that's what you look for, the close down below the trend line. All right, and down it went. In this particular case, it was moving down, and I was moving my stop to break even, and then I just decided to put a target in at 2 points, and it went down and took me out at 2 points, and it actually went through my 2-point target. So I got the 2 points off right away, and then we just went through trades as they were setting up after that, okay? We did have a couple more trades. That's crude oil. Sorry, I should probably show you the whole thing on crude. All right, after that, we had a little bit of a pullback here with a close down below the trend line with the bearish divergence, okay? So you were looking for a trade there. Again, the same thing here. It tried to pull back and hit the BBC, but it didn't. even over here, but this was a continuation of this trade. Over here, tried to pull back to the BBC to hit the, but it didn't because it was too much momentum. So I didn't draw a trend line on it. I just circled it. The down close below the trend line was right there with the bearish divergence. That's where you would have gone short. On this one, we lost our momentum here. I mean, not our momentum. We lost our divergence over here. Okay, on the down close right here, there was no room for this to run. And I believe I said at that point that this was not likely to make it through the swing low because there was no room for it to run right here. And it went flat for a while. Okay. Now, today we had crude inventories come out. BBC is bull bear cross. It's the green line. Okay, the green line right here is the BBC. The red and blue line is the MA1. This black line is the black line. When I refer to the cycle, it's the thick red and blue line down here in the slingshot. And when I refer to the green line, it's the green line down here in the slingshot. Okay. All right, so we had a bullish cross. Price came down, tested the BBC, and this is a good example of, well, it's not actually a good example of it because we had red on the cycle. But again, the same picture comes into play here. You need, when the cycle is the wrong color, you see the trend line comes into play on two occasions. Number one is if price is below the BBC, not hitting the BBC and continuing below the trend line. Okay. And number two is if it hits the BBC, but the cycle is the wrong color. That's when the trend lines come into play. Or even if it doesn't hit the BBC and the cycle is the wrong color. All right. If the cycle is the wrong color, or it doesn't hit the BBC, or both, those are the times where the trend lines come into play. All right, you can see we had drawn a trend line right over here down the tops. We tested the BBC. We had an up close, but we had red on the cycle, so there was no trade there. We would have needed an up close above the trend line, but by the time it gave the up close, there was no room left over here. There was no divergence. Okay, it went sideways, and then we had the crude inventories came out right over here, and it went a little bit nuts. See, from right here at 10:30 all the way over here at 10:31, all those bars are 1 minute. Excuse me. Now it gave some more opportunities in here, but we didn't take any of them. Okay? You can see it came over here, hit the BBC, gave a down close. It was bearish divergence, and it moved down. Over here, it gave a bullish cross, hit the BBC with an up close, but there wasn't any divergence, so no trade in there. Over here, it closed up above the trend line. I didn't take the trade, but if you did take that trade, you would have stopped out with an 8-tick stop. That's another thing. I use an 8-tick stop on every single trade. Okay, every single trade I use an 8-tick stop. And Keith R., I can send you all the information you need about that, okay? I'll send it to you in a little while in response to your question. here, there were more opportunities in here, but the end of the morning session happened, okay? So we didn't take any more trades. Right in here where it's pulling back and testing the BBC right now, you would have to draw a trend line because there's blue on the cycle. Okay, there's blue on the cycle. We've hit the BBC, but the black line's about to cross up above the BBC. So you would need a down close below the BBC before the black line gets up above it. I don't think that's going to happen. And the blue cycle is headed straight up, so I wouldn't be taking that trade anyway. That was crude oil this morning. Okay, wasn't a lot of trades there on crude. The Russell, I don't think we traded the Russell this morning, did we? No, we didn't. There were a couple of opportunities on the Russell, but I didn't take them. I missed them for whatever reason. Now, the first one was over here. The first one was over here. And, hang on. I shut that off. All right, the first one was over here. And we had a bearish cross to test the BBC with a down close, but it was going right into the weekly trading zone. All right, so I don't trade going into the weekly trading zone unless I have 2 points profit potential. And this is the Russell, so it would have to be 10 ticks, okay? 2 points ES equivalent profit potential. We didn't have it. We only had 8, so I didn't take the trade. It ended up going down into the zone anyway. It bounced off the zone and gave a long opportunity right here. If we go to the other picture now, this one, okay? Same indicator set, same everything, but this time it's a trade off the BBC. Okay, instead of going with the trend line trades, this time it's off the BBC. What you look for is the bullish cross right here of the MA1, which is a blue and red line, over the BBC, which is the green line. And then space in here. See, step one is the cross. Step two, price pulls away. There's some space in there. Step three is it pulls back down and tests it. Oops. Step three is it pulls back down and it tests it. And gives you an up close. All right. When you get that up close, you look down here for step four, divergence. All right. Divergence is down here. Divergence is only in the slingshot. The green line is diverging from the cycle portion of the slingshot. To trade off the BBC, the cycle has to be the right color. Okay? So you look for a blue cycle to go long. And right there was the entry. All right? Give another opportunity right in here. Same thing. The cycle was still blue. All right? After that, there was up here. This was a trend line entry, a close above the trend line. Okay? There was still just a little bit of divergence, not much. Wasn't really enough divergence there to really take the trade. And there was another one right here. This one went four ticks. This one went however many ticks that is, five or six ticks. Then it turned around, and it started to go down over here. Okay, you were looking for the down close below the trend line, which would have been right there. All right, I remember going over this in the live trading room. Now, when you got your close down here below the MA1, that's when you bring your stop to break even. BBC stands for bull bear cross. Okay. You bring your stop down to break even, and at least that's when I do it. I bring my stop to break even, and you know, there was an opportunity to take six or eight ticks out of this trade, probably six ticks out of this trade, I think, right? 92.8 down to 29.2. I'm sorry, 29.8. 29.2, so six ticks. I would have had my stop at break even and gotten a break even on the trade. But as it turned out, the thing kept going down. There was another shorting opportunity right in here. Again, when it closed down below the MA1, right in there, I would have had my stop at break-even. Then it was going into the zone, so I wouldn't have traded anything in there. Over here, we were looking for an up-close above the trend line. That would have been right there for that move up. We didn't have a close there. And that pretty much wrapped up the morning, I think, right? Right in here, just the up-close. You could have traded this up-close right here, too. I didn't notice this morning. But it came down. It hit the BBC and gave an up close. The cycle was still blue. You had bullish divergence, and the black line was still above the green. So you could have traded this long right here. Okay. Yes, Todd, after four ticks or when we get a close on the other side of the MA1, whichever happens first, that's when I move my stop to break even. Okay. Now, I'm really aggressive when I'm moving my stops around. You don't have to be as aggressive as me, but I am really aggressive. Okay. That's aggressive risk management. All right. That was it on that one. We didn't take any trades over there anyway. But over here on gold, we did take a couple of trades, three of them. Okay, so let's blow it up a little bit here. We took two wins and a break even on the gold. Okay. Now, gold moved around a lot today. There was a ton of opportunity on gold, a ton of opportunity. All right, I mean, I can go back here to the beginning. If I go back here to the beginning, and right in here was the first one, right here at the open. We had a bullish cross, tested the BBC with an up close, and it moved up. Then we had a bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close, and look at that move down right there. There was another one right here. I know some of the partners in the live trading room got these trades. I didn't get these trades. I don't know what I was doing, if I was showing other things, showing people things, or, you know, doing the mentoring. But I didn't get those trades, unfortunately. I know some guys did. I mean, I know Frank was over $900 a contract this morning, and I was, you know, $245. I often say, you should be doing better than I am. Okay. I often say that. Now, over here, it was the same thing. You know, it's the same stuff, guys, over and over and over again. We're doing the same thing. You bullish cross. Your attempted pullback to the BBC, it didn't happen, so you draw a trend line in there. Draw a trend line, look for the close above the trend line with a bullish divergence. We got that, the up close with the bullish divergence. I got long in there, I took profit up here. These trades happened really fast this morning. Another one right here, the same thing, same exact setup right in there. There was a shorting opportunity right here on the down close, that dropped down, I don't know how many ticks that was. 70.8, and it dropped down to 70, so there was 8 ticks profit potential in that. Over here, I had drawn this trend line in. Now, the up close right here was no good because we had red on the cycle, so you needed to close above the trend line. That close above the trend line didn't happen until way over here. when it happened, there was no room left in here, really, for it to run. So you would have really just been going on the momentum of the market. Okay. Then everything got sort of backwards in here. You see how we have bearish divergence, and we're trading above the BBC. So we have to wait. Over here, there wasn't any room to run again, but this was a close down below the trend line. Right here, that's why I had it highlighted, because it was a close below the trend line. Down close below the trend line, but there was no room for it to run. All right, it turned around, went back up through the BBC, turned back around through the BBC again. In here, there was a little bit of an opportunity. And there was some room to run here, just a little bit, not much. And it did just a little bit, pulled back up. Would have been a break-even trade for me. This one over here, we did have more room, okay, on the down close right here. And I put my stop at break-even, and I got taken out at break-even. Now, I entered it, and I got taken out at break-even on that one. I missed all the rest of these trades in here. This big move up right here. This big move up right here. And this happened really quickly, but there were some nice moves in there, and I know some of the partners got that. And if you look at this, you know, I think I highlighted this when it was happening. 75.4. From 75.4 to up here is 81.8. Let's just call it 81.4. That's the equivalent of $600 a contract right there. And that took all of 10:35 to 10:43, 8 minutes. Not a bad return on your time. Frank, even a blind trader could have made money in gold. Maybe. In here, I was highlighting the areas when you would have moved your trend line. Okay? And then finally, we had an up close above the trend line right here for the move up. This was all during the live trading room this morning. There was another one right there for the move up. We were looking for another opportunity in here because we still had bullish divergence, but we didn't get a close above the trend line. All right, over here, we had a close below the trend line, but we didn't have any room to run between the green line and the cycle, so we didn't have anything over there. Over here, we did have room to run on the down close, but it didn't go, so that would have stopped you out right there. All right, would have made it back on this one or this one. Turned around, and right over here, we were looking for a down close below the trend line. There was no room to run. And over here, we were looking for a down close below the trend line. I know one of the partners had asked me about that. I had totally missed it. I wasn't watching gold all that closely at this point because it was really jumpy. But one of the partners had caught that and asked me about it. Or one of the guys in the trial. I think Andrew, wasn't it you, in the trial. Anyway, that was it. And that was the end of the morning session. There was actually just a shorting opportunity right in here, I think. See, here's the trend line. Here's the down close. There's a little bit of bearish divergence right here. The room to run is right here between here and here. So it doesn't look like it'll probably make it through this level right here, 75.8. If you got into that short, you know, 75.9 might be a good spot to look for a target. All right. That was gold. Okay. In my experience, do correct color cycle trades have a better chance than trendline trades? I think they're pretty close to even. I don't know. I haven't kept metrics on all that. Just wanted to point out here, guys. The down close was right there, right? And I said, look for this right down here. So it's already done it on the gold. All right. The down close right there is 76.3. Down close below that trend line. And it's already done what we anticipated it doing. For those of you guys looking for 2 points, 76.3 just dropped down to 75.4. That's 9 ticks, just about 2 points right there. You're in that trade right now, Todd? Good. Okay. And let's see. Draw a trend line, a little bit subjective. Do I have a strategy just looking at the indicators? There's nothing subjective about drawing the trend lines. It's not at all. Not at all. The trend lines are based upon price action. You draw the trend lines until price hits the BBC. Once it hits the BBC, the trend line is in place. Then you just need to see the price action. Okay. But if you wanted to just trade off the BBC where you don't use the trend lines, you can do that too. You don't need to have the trend lines to trade off the BBC. Okay, you can do that too. So yes is the answer to your question. Okay, and Todd, you just stopped out at plus 5 ticks on this. Good. All right. You can draw another trend line here right now. You can draw the trend line, but the green line's into the cycle already, so I wouldn't anticipate much more out of it at this point. All right. I would look for it to pull back soon. Pull back up to the BBC, and it would give you more, more. Bob, I'll give you, I'll send you information too. Okay. I'll send you the information. All right. All right. Gold's still going down. It just dropped right through the, cycle. You see? Now, we say 2 points a day, and this is 76.3, and it's dropped all the way down to 74.7. That's $160 a contract. Is that right? Yeah, $160 a contract. So, that's 3 points plus right there. All right, that's it on the gold. Now let's move over here to the NQ. Okay, there were a bunch of trades on the NQ this morning. I'm not going to show the pictures anymore because it's all the same. Market to market to market to market to market. It doesn't matter what symbol you're looking at. It's always the same. Okay? Let me back this out a little bit. You can see we had areas that we highlighted here on the NQ. Now, right at the beginning, there was this big move down. I know some of the guys made their 2 points on this move instead of making it on the crude oil like I did. They made it over here, and there was that big move. There was another chance right here for a little bit more, but the green line, again, was going into the cycle, so there was not a lot of opportunity there. The up close over here gave an up close. The up close right here gave a close above the MA1, at which point I would have moved my stop to break even if I were trading the NQ, but I didn't have an NQ DOM open today, so I didn't trade it. I would have had a break even on that. It got very choppy in here. And, you know, I don't mean to just gloss over the chop like that, but when it's choppy like this, there usually aren't many opportunities in there, you know, win or loss. But if you want to just really quickly, I'll go through this period of chop here, and then I'm just going to be done with the NQ. Okay, I didn't take trades on any other markets this morning, I don't think. Well, soybeans, I got to show you soybeans. Okay, right here was the trend line, and you were looking for a down close below the trend line, but the black line got up above the green, so there was no opportunity. Over here, by the time you got a close below the trend line, the black was above the green, so again, no opportunity. Over here, same thing. Okay, the trend line would have been like this, and by the time you got a close below the trend line right here, the black was above the green, so there was no trading. So it pretty much keeps you out of the opportunities that, you know, out of the chop, basically. Okay? That's your opportunity right there. You would have just needed a down close off the BBC, so you could have shorted right there. The down close below the trend line, below the MA1, is when I would have moved my stop to break even. And would have been out of break even on that trade. Okay. And that's pretty much what I need to show you. It's the same stuff over and over and over again, regardless of the market. Okay. That is the NQ. Let's look at the soybeans, because we did place trades on the soybeans this morning. I took 2 trades on the soybeans, and I got out of both of them too early. I moved my stop up to break even. These were the trades that were available. This was pre-market soybeans right here, and then we had a bullish cross, and in here we had the momentum. Break above the trend line, looking for the green line to get up into the cycle. Right there was the entry. It moved up significantly. Okay, the next opportunity here was a pullback, another break above the trend line. I got long right in there. I moved my stop to break even after we had 4 ticks profit in the trade. It came back and took me out at plus nothing. took me out at break even. And then it moved up like 20 or 30 ticks. I know we had at least one guy, in there who took 20 ticks on this trade. The next one was over here that I took. There was one right here. A shorting opportunity on the down close right here on Gravestone Doji. That dropped down. The next one was right in here. Sorry, Mike. I just saw your note over there. The next one was over here on the down close. I did take that, and I moved my stop up to lock in just a little tiny bit of profit, and I ended up getting out of that with plus 2 ticks. Okay, and that, obviously I got out too early because it did go down. The next one was over here, and it went up. And that was it on the soybeans. Gold is still going down now, guys. I just want to bring it over and show it to you again, okay? Because the way that it works in the live trading room, when you're getting into trades like this, and the market is trending, we had to wait for divergence to come back, okay? Because we had run out of divergence. I told you when it got down here, look for another pullback. More divergence. There's the trend line. There's the down close. And there's another 2 points worth, probably. All right. Right there at 74.9. Drop down to 73.6. So another better than 2 points. $130. 2.5 points. Okay. That's what we do in the live trading room. Every day. Day after day. All right, let me just jump over here really quick on the ES. There were a couple of opportunities on the ES. There was this one right here that wouldn't have worked out if you got into it. Okay, it would have stopped you out. Changed directions. There was one right here on the short side that did work out. All the same stuff. Okay. This is the Euro. There were a couple of spots on the Euro this morning. And let me scroll back here. Yeah. Well, anyway, you guys get the picture. There's a trade right here on the Euro right now, 29.90, if you wanted to get it. The regular trading hours for the Euro ended about a half an hour ago, though. Right, I'm sorry, not a half an hour ago, about an hour and a half ago. All right. That said, let me just look at the questions here again. Andrew, you just made 13 ticks trading what you saw in here. Great. And John, if you can trade only one market, is there a way to make an educated guess as to which would be best for the day? For the day? I don't know about for the day. It depends when you have time to trade, how much margin you're able to accept, how often you want to trade. There's a bunch of things that go into it. But, you know, if you're just looking for trades, you know, markets that have a lot of trades, then, you know, the Russell be a good one, gold, crude oil. If you're looking for markets that don't have as many trades, but usually have good trending trades when you get into them that have a small window of opportunity, there's soybeans and natural gas. Oops, natural gas is back here. There was a trade right here on natural gas, and there was another one earlier this morning right in here on natural gas. All right, not a lot of trades, but there were good ones when they were there. You know, it depends. It's up to you. But we can talk about that kind of stuff if you become a partner. All right, so that's it. I'm going to wrap up the recording right here, the recap. Again, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/free trial. Sign up for the free trial. If you have taken the free trial with us, then and you want to know what it takes to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. support@cfrn.net. Just put partner info in the header, and we'll give you all the information you need to become a partner. Okay. When you become a partner, you get 3 months of the mentoring package. That's 3 months in the live trading room, 3 months of weekly trading zones, 3 months of access to the members area, where we have over 200 hours of videos, 3 months of weekly partners meetings, which we have tomorrow night, 3 months of swing trades, and you get the indicators for life as long as you have DT Pro. Okay. That's it. That's where I'm kind of wrapping up. All right,
guys, with that said, we're going to head right on out to Las Vegas, Nevada, chat with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com, so don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Good morning, Michael Bork, as well.
Good morning, David.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'd like to also welcome some of the listeners from Yorba Media that have come over to listen to us today and check everything out here at CFRN. If you're out in the audience there, welcome. And we cover a lot of things. This program covers a lot of things. We talk about a lot of things. Some of those things aren't immediately related to the markets, but in many cases they are. And some of the things are just downright silly. So
we've been known
just be
for
ready
that.
For all of those.
We've been known for that.
We've been known for that. So anyway, so, boy, I tell you what, we've had some interesting news today. We can, and I'm sure you have some that you may want to go through as well, but one of the interesting, for some people, unfortunate, for others, depending on what you think of Hugo Chavez, he apparently passed away yesterday or today, which is one of the fundamental pieces of news that we thought might play into our forecast for this big crude decline. And in some ways, this is could have been considered sort of a sell the rumor and buy the fact kind of trade. Because, you know, Hugo was known to be ill for several months and so on, and the market has declined quite sharply, I think, in anticipation of his death. So anyway, that's one of the interesting pieces of news because that, you know, Venezuela has a lot to do with crude oil, and Hugo Chavez being in power and having that power transferred and all the other stuff that goes along with when the new guard has to come in, it makes for interesting news. And, you know, obviously we don't want to – nobody is celebrating his death outright, but this is a guy that was a, you know – had a very dictatorial kind of a sense to him. You wouldn't probably want to live under that type of setup. Most of us wouldn't. But either way, so someone else is going to be taking over for him, and we'll see how that all plays out and how that relates to the crude market. You know, we're all technical traders, but it is interesting to see what news comes along to service the technical side of these various setups. Especially the longer-term ones where, you know, bigger swings are involved based upon big news events. So what about you, Dwayne? What's happening on your end and anything interesting in the news that you've seen today?
We covered the headlines at the beginning of the show, the ones that were interesting.
Yeah.
Google Play is 1 year old today, so those of you that are don't have an iPhone, we'll send you a card later. But in the meantime, you can go to the Android store. It's called Google Play. It's 1 year old today. And you can get lots of free stuff. So for those of you in the audience who are still using Android technology, actually the Android technology is so much better today than it was a year ago when the Play Store first opened. It really has, with the latest release of the Android software, it's gotten pretty good. It's still no iOS, but it's not bad. Not bad. Uh-huh. I don't have one. I don't use one, but I watch from a distance as it develops. And Google, as they continue to move forward, and, you know, they're pushing two different operating systems right now, Android and Chrome. And a lot of critics have said, why do you need two, and aren't you going to eventually blend them into one? And they say, so far, they've said, no, they're going to remain two entirely separate products, and we believe the world needs two different operating systems. So that, and other than Mark Cuban being hauled into court for insider trading, and Amazon, Jeff Bezos, not being smart enough to take my $79 the other night when I tried to give it to him, that's about it for news.
And why didn't he take your $79?
Well, because the Amazon Prime, I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
It's a membership you get at Amazon, and as a Prime member, you pay no shipping or very little shipping on thousands of items throughout their store. Plus, you have access to streaming content, movies, TV shows. Their argument for price, one of their arguments on their website is you can get rid of your Netflix, which you're paying $8 a month for. 12 times 8 is, I think, 96. Last time I checked, 96. They said you can get rid of your Netflix account. And because you won't need it, because you'll have access to our video and TV library, which you can stream for free as a Prime member. So right there, the membership pays for itself, plus all the other benefits you get. Now, they don't tell you that their library is about 25, or about a quarter the size of the Netflix library. But, you know, even forget that. I wanted to place an order, and I wanted to get the free shipping. But I had to sign up and be a Prime member. So I tried to sign up, and it said, basically it said, you know, take a free trial first, 30 days. Okay, I'll do that. But then it said I had to have a Prime authorized or Prime acceptable whatever item in my shopping cart in order to activate the free trial. Well, for the life of me, I went through this store with all these multitude of items, and I couldn't find any Prime. I couldn't find an item I actually could use with the Prime logo next to it. So I said, you know what? I already know how this thing works. I know the deal. I don't need a 30-day free trial. I just want to go ahead and get signed up because I had some stuff in my shopping cart that I really did want to order that I was going to have to go to the store and buy the next day if I didn't order it from Amazon. But I was trying to get my free shipping because the $20 I was going to pay in shipping, that was going to negate the money I was saving on the product, right? And I'm going to tell you, we're talking toilet paper here. Believe it or not, many people have started to order ordinary products like toilet paper on a subscription basis. If you know how many rolls your home goes through in a month or 2 months or 6 weeks, however you want to measure it, whether you have a home, a family of seven or a household of one, that's the type of thing that tends to be fairly consistent. And so because of the free shipping, a lot of people order these reusable, renewable commodities at on a subscription-type basis. So I just saw the price, and I knew how much I was going to pay at the store. I said, you know, this is a heck of a deal. This is a really a big savings. But when the $22 of shipping showed up, that's when I realized, oh, wait a minute, I got to go do the Prime thing so that I can get the free shipping. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And so, turns out, you can't just pay them $79 to become a Prime member. You must suffer through the 30-day free trial. And in order to get the 30-day free trial, you must put at least one item with the little Prime logo next to it in your shopping cart and buy it. And I found that very frustrating and aggravating. I was a grown man with my iPad in one hand and my credit card in the other, and I was desperately trying to give these people $79, and there was no way to do it. And I think that's ridiculous.
Well, there are going to be frustrations on the internet now, aren't there?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Turns out.
But I love the concept of subscription toilet paper. Yeah. I do like that.
You gotta go there, man. Get your shampoos, your soaps, you know, any of that stuff, paper towels, napkins.
You love that because then you don't have to go out of the house for even
gotta
more
go
things.
Nowhere. Yep. Man just shows up at the door, knocks twice, and leaves. That's it. Amazon's here.
That's it. There you are. That's beautiful.
And Google is coming out with their own store that's going to I read about that this morning. I talked about it on the news. Google is going to compete with Amazon, and maybe they'll get my $79. Actually, their service is only going to be $69. But they haven't announced yet if they're going to allow you to stream TV and movies, so we'll wait and see. I've already bought the toilet paper, so there's no rush at this point.
Well, that's interesting.
There you go. See, folks, he told you you'd get all kind of varied content.
You get all kinds of information. You probably weren't thinking about subscription toilet paper this morning when you came to this radio program.
I came to learn how to trade e-mini futures, and I learned how to buy toilet paper on the cheap. There's a lot of value here, I'm telling you.
Wow. Well, let's see. If you'd like, Dwayne, we can get right into the markets because they're here. They're trading.
In front of your new friends?
I'm sorry?
I'm just kidding. You said, let's just get into the market. And I said, why? Did I embarrass you in front of your new friends?
No. Oh, it's going to be tough to embarrass me, Dwayne.
Trust me.
We may embarrass them, but
No, seriously, guys,
sure.
We're all glad. If you're new, we are glad to have you with us. And if you have any questions at all for David or any one of the hosts, just type it into the chat box each of you have a chat box. Just type it in there, and we'll be happy to address your question, take a look at a specific market that you might have an interest in. And also to Mike Reed, Mike, we apologize that I didn't see your message up there in time, and we didn't get through to you today, but if you can pop back in tomorrow or Friday, we'd love to have you. Okay?
Absolutely, yeah. I messaged him back myself and said I'd love to have him on, so if he's available. That's Mike Reed from TradeStalker we're talking about.
TradeStalker.com. Pay him a visit.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, there you are. So let's take a look around a little bit. We don't have to make too much of the markets here because today the S&P continues its move up. I'd like to give just a little bit of history on this because we're really near historic levels in the S&P. The Dow, of course, has moved up even higher. But, you know, all the way back into August of last year, we had been forecasting that the market would continue higher and test 1515 and possibly then 1540, 38 to 40 as well on the upside prior to the ending of the longer term advance that began in 09. So that bottom, the 666 bottom in 09, as far as we were concerned, would not end. That advance off that wouldn't end until we saw 1515 and possibly 1538 to 40. We've done it all. They've seen it all. Now the prices have all been reached. And we've also warned people for months to not use ordinary approaches and indicators to, except for on the intraday basis, which even that is could be called questionable, but it's easier there to do it than it is on the longer term basis. Many, many people have tried to short the market and have gotten themselves in trouble repeatedly because the indicators and things are indicating that the market would turn, you know, overbought, oversold type indicators. And this is a runaway market. This is not the kind of market that ordinary indicators are going to capture in terms of being overbought and oversold. They're going to give you trouble because it is, in fact, a slow-grinding, runaway market. So we continue seeing that, and the market does continue to trade higher. We talked about this yesterday. The next level above the 1540 level, putting the minor levels aside, and this isn't very far away, is the 53 to 55 level, which we think would be another important level. And each one of these that's reached, there's a group of people who believe more and more in the new bull market that's underway. We don't think that way. We're not of that belief now. We believe this is actually the near ending of a bull market, not the beginning of a new one. And that any new highs that the market, if the S&P can get up and make new highs above the 1586.75 old high, all of that would be very difficult to be sustainable as on a breakout basis. So therefore, we believe that a very important top is being formed, and each one of these new levels, rather than getting more bullish for us, that's sort of getting us more warning signals to be cautious on the long side. And we still do continue to trade on the long side with our bigger program with stocks and so on. So our outlook is that this is a runaway market. It has been for a couple of months that this is a runaway market. It's going to continue to defy many types of ordinary indications for a top, and it's probably wise to be a buyer for during the pullbacks at critical levels, if you can do that, and then go from there. And we'll continue to talk about the important timing and these kinds of factors that we use, reflected wave, which is our turning point methodology, to capture either the pullbacks and so on. One of the things that we did recently, and we for those of you that are new, because we do trade in stocks, and there's nothing wrong with trading in futures. We love it all. We had a reflected wave bottom due around the week of February 19th in Intel, the processor corporation, INTC, and that was for the week of February 19th and the week of February 25th. Those 2 weeks would mark a bottom for this market, and we sold put premium for the idea that this market would go higher. We weren't doing it so much for price appreciation as we were more a time decay based upon the normal thing to happen, which is what's happening, which is that you're getting a bounce off of the weekly bottom from reflected wave. So this is a good example of the reflected wave methodology. For those of you that have heard about it, this is just a really easy and obvious way to see what it looks like when a turn comes in. Many people could have purchased the stock outright, but in our particular approach, I'm not sure that we own it or not, but I know that we sold put premium. We talked about it and forecasted on the program here. So Intel continues higher, and that's what we're looking to do with this market is we're saying rather than attempting to maybe trade the index on the longer term, the S&P index, we're still just continuing to find pullbacks in the individual stocks that we either already own or that we are going to sell put premium on, sort of naked, without owning the stock. So we'll continue to do that, but we're being less aggressive, dramatically less aggressive at this point in buying breakouts on individual stocks. We're really sort of now starting to pull back to just buying the pullbacks, like what we see here in Intel, rather than doing this whole business of being rapidly bullish. We're long, and we're still holding, and we're going to continue to, but we're going to continue to slow it down as the market reaches each succeeding level is going to get us a little bit less interested in staying in the market. So it's really interesting, the time that we're in right now, this whole period of time where we've literally, in the last 4 years, had a rally on completely bad news. Nothing but bad news has come out in the last 4 years. And I mean, obviously there's been a few spats, a few moments here and there, but all the financial and every other type of news, it's all been bad. And the market has climbed that wall of worry the entire time, including today. I mean, it just continues. Our United States of America is technically bankrupt right now. If your finances were in the condition that America was with regard to its debt to income ratio, you would be bankrupt. You would actually have to fill out the paperwork and all that stuff. America is in no better shape and will be in no better shape for many, many, many years because of what's going on right now with the spending. We have an administration that cares nothing about the debt. It means nothing to them at all. What means to them is getting their agenda, whatever happens to be done, at whatever expense. And that is going to cost all of us in the end. I really want people to recognize whether you're on the left or the right. It doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right. If America is bankrupt, it's bankrupt, and it can't afford to spend more. But as it does continue to spend more, in spite of the bankruptcy, in spite of the condition that we're in, that is only going to be paid off by all of us. That's where that money is going to come from. It's not going to come from printing money and fixing that problem. It's going to come from people working, earning that money, and then paying higher and higher taxes to solve that. So you might want to think twice about how much you want the government. Maybe you want the government to keep spending. Maybe you believe these programs and things need to continue and grow. But you wouldn't do that with your own children. You wouldn't have your child who ran up a credit card bill, your teenager, and tell them to go to the bank and borrow more money. You act very differently there. But when it comes to America, you might want to see how you're acting in real life and then apply that to how you think America should act, because there's huge gulfs between what people do in their personal lives, dramatic, highly contradictive gulfs between what people do in their personal lives, how they manage their personal lives, and what they think America should be doing with its money. Huge. And this is on both the left and the right. So it's very interesting psychology to see that, because people often espouse positions that they don't believe in at all when it comes to themselves. But they believe in those positions to the death when it comes to how other people should live and how governments should rule those people. But in their own personal lives, they believe the exact opposite. So it's very interesting psychology. Be very careful when somebody tells you what they believe, what they're all about, first time you meet them. Because as a general rule, they're just dreaming. Because in most cases, people actually believe very differently than what they speak and talk, what they actually believe deep down. And in many cases, people don't actually know what they actually believe. It's sort of unconscious to them. But that belief is there nonetheless. Just because you don't know it's there doesn't mean it's not operating. And it's very obvious if you watch people, and if you're honest with yourself, you'll see that there's many things that you say you believe that in reality you may know that you don't, or you believe very little in. And this is not to beat anybody up. It's to get you to be more aware of yourself, and that helps you to grow rather than grow in the dream world, grow in wakefulness, in understanding and insight and that sort of thing. And I'm not speaking down to anybody. I'm not an expert on the subject. I just know from my own life and having seen myself do everything I'm talking about, all of it, that these things are actually there, they exist, and they also can interfere in a big way with your trading. There's no question in my mind that we all pick up ideas and beliefs and conclusions from having read about what other people have done and so on. Trading is not something where you're supposed to imitate other people. It's something where you're supposed to find your own path. You know, somebody very, very wise once said to me that nature never duplicates a path. Nature never duplicates a path. And that simply means that whatever your path is to wherever you're going, no one has ever walked that path before. If you get there, that path is going to be an individual path. It's not a repeat of some previous path. If you look around and how brilliant that statement is, nature never duplicates a path, you'll see that it's absolutely true. There's the path to the top of a mountain. That one's over here. This one's over here. They're all different. And that's how it is in trading. You want to find your own way. You definitely may need help and want to learn various different methods and systems and so on. But in the end, you're going to coalesce all that stuff together and make your own way to it. So don't worry if your best friend is trading better than you or worse than you. All of us have to find our own way in trading. And we can do that all together without having to go through imitation. If I say to you, well, here's something you might think about or might try, and you go, God, that's been really helpful, maybe that's helpful, or maybe Dwayne says that or Michael says that. That may be helpful to you, but in the end, you're still going to turn that into your own thing. It's going to be blended in your own way, and that's the right way to do it. Don't get caught up in trying to emulate other people, as this is my suggestion. Just find your own way, because you will put it together much better with your own touch on it rather than trying to constantly emulate somebody else. So, anyway,
what he was trying to say, guys, is that there's no two snowflakes exactly alike.
That's right. That's right.
That's what he meant.
Those snowflakes prove the point,
you know,
very nicely.
For all, you know, here's the thing. The U.S., you're correct with the debt and the problems, and here's a president who, you know, like him, not like him, agree, don't disagree, he has the bragging rights to saying, I was the president when the Dow hit its all-time high. Now, he also may have the bragging rights to, I was the president when stuff hit the fan. Because we still got a few years to go. But here's the thing. We know the problems we have here in America. But if we step back and take a big picture look around the world, things are even worse in other places. Now, the government yesterday, our government in the U.S. here, and I have to always remember to kind of say that because we have so many international listeners, people from all over the globe in our audience, but we borrowed a heck of a lot of money yesterday. Now, we call it a U.S. Treasury auction. But it's like me and you going down to the pawn shop, literally. You know, they make it sound good. Oh, we have a treasury auction. Okay, that sounds pretty clean. But it's the U.S. going, we're broke. We need to borrow some money. Now, yesterday, they borrowed $35 billion in three-month bills. They borrowed another $30 billion in six-month bills. If I'm not mistaken, it was somewhere around $30 or $35 billion in four-week notes. Okay. That's really short-term money. Here's the thing. Investors, people who have the ability, whether you're an individual or an institution, and you have the money, you have actual money, and we won't get into whether that money has any real value or not, but the fact is you've got money. So you need somewhere to invest it, somewhere to put it, and you look around the world, and the safest place you can find to put your money. And obviously, you're a pretty smart cat because you have money. when a lot of people don't, you've got money to put somewhere. So that makes you kind of at the head of the pack. All right, you look around the world, where's the best place to put it? Amazingly enough, it's right here in America. Now, I don't want to sound un-American when I say amazingly enough, because I love America and I'm proud to be an American, but our financial house is not exactly in order. When they auctioned off those T-bills yesterday, which, again, we call it auctioning off T-bills, but it's really borrowing money. If you were to loan the United States government $10,000, well, okay, you'll get a $10,000 bill for, this is what you'll pay for it, on the, let's see, on the three-month price, $9,997.22. So you're going to loan the government, you're going to loan the U.S. government $9,972.22. And in 3 months, you're going to get your money back plus $2.78 in interest. That's how desperate people are to find some safe place. You know, the term used to be, what's the rate of return on my money? But now, how is it put? What's the chance I'll even get my money back? There's a clever way they have of saying that. On the six-month bills, those sold for $9,993.93. So with that, you know, if you got an extra 10 grand laying around, you can make $6 over the next 6 months. That should be a little bit frightening, I think, when that's the best investment people can find, the safest place to put money, in a country that's kind of tapped out. With so many financial and fundamental flaws converging at the same time, we have a stock market that, as you said, is, I don't think you used the term out of control, but what term did you use to refer to the market earlier, David?
Well, that it is rallying on bad news, and
something else,
like climbing a wall of worry.
No, I think in the beginning, yeah, you said that, but I think you called it a runaway market.
Runaway market, okay. Right. Right now it is. For the last couple of months, it's been a runaway market.
Well, if we look at this daily chart right here, and we just scoot back to the last time we had any kind of a correction, would have been in November. Well, it began. We were steadily climbing for the majority of last year, and then we put in this little double top in September and October, and then we began this correction around October 5th, and we put in a nice decline down to November. Let's see, the bottom of this thing was November 16th. We then rallied into the end of the year. We did a correction right at the very end of the year, probably tax selling, that kind of thing. But then we gapped up into the new year. And I think this shows pretty well what you just said as far as, a runaway market. It's not straight up. It's not a parabolic move. But that's just, there's no correction. There's no, that's really not normal. And it's not healthy. If you understand how markets work, this little bit of a correction here was good, but it's just a blip on the screen. This, my point is this: this market is going to have a real correction at some point, and all the doomsday sayers will be out in force. It's the end of the world. The sky is falling, but I can tell you now that it's not the end of the world, and the sky really isn't falling. It may feel like it, and it may look like it, but markets, this thing has to correct at some point. So just be prepared for it. Just know that it's going to, know that it will, and be prepared. Back to you.
There you are. There you are. What we're going to do, and then we'll move on to the other markets, what we're going to do with this is we're going to continue to purchase, do what we do, which is to sell premium against markets, individual stocks inside of the ongoing uptrend. And then we're going to see and watch how the market acts at these subsequent levels. The 1515, of course, we're beyond that. Now we're up to 1540 and so on. And we're going to become less and less aggressive up there. If we're all wrong and the market decides that it really is going to move dramatically higher and this really is the beginning of a new bull market, then we won't be participating in the first part of that bull market. We'll be probably participating in some later portion of it because we will have slowed down our trading or our interaction with the ending, as we see it, of the bull market to the point where we're effectively out of the market for short term. And then if it starts to confirm that our outlook is correct, we'll begin trading on the short side and taking advantage of the stocks that have been weak in the advance and selling short on those first and then beginning to, you know, turn the whole tables around and going to the short side. So the short side is much, much more dramatic in many cases than the long side is. The long side sometimes is a slower boat, and it's just a grind all the way out and up, as the markets usually are. And the downside is usually very fast and violent and gets these things over quickly. So there is a focused timing issue with regard to the short side, but there's usually several good entry attempts on the short side. If you don't get in at the top, there's usually pretty good movement that you can get in on and get short. So we'll see. We'll continue talking about it as the market gets up. But again, just to repeat our outlook, we think this is the ending of a bull, not the beginning of one. And so we're going to continue to address that and in the subsequent weeks here. So if you want, Dwayne, we'll move over to the gold market.
Dave, there's a question. Alan's typed it in three times. He's rephrased it each time so that I would, you know, appreciate that, Alan. But I wasn't going to overlook you. His question is for you. Does reflected wave give a clear indication of the top in the S&P?
Does it give a clear indication right now or at any given time? It obviously, it gives a clear indication, or maybe not so obviously, it gives a clear indication in any market what the top is on a specific time frame, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or hourly. The last, as an example, we're going to talk about crude later, but we'd forecast the February 13th daily top, which occurred inside and subsequent to the January forecast monthly top. So that was a beautiful example of using the two time frames. You have a monthly top in January forecast, and then you also have in February, a February 13th top forecast. That top was testing the monthly January top, and that's where most of us and our institutional and other people got involved and got into the market, many of whom are still in the market on the way down now because the forecast is for much lower prices. Having said that, the initial, answering your question in a different way, the initial move or forecast right now for the top right now in the S&P as it stands, is, and there's been a number of them where the market has reacted off of them and then later taken out those highs. But right now, we've talked about this before, there's a very large time frame top that's being put in the market. This is how we would begin to know what we're talking about with regard to, I don't mean know what we're talking about like we're right, but how to address this size of move would be to start with the largest time frame that is active in reflected wave right now, which is the 6-month chart. Now, there's many systems perhaps that don't address or treat 6-month charts, or perhaps, mm-hmm. but in this particular instance, that is
you have to use
very...
a cash. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to say you have to use a cash market or a continuous symbol to address.
That's right.
A 6-month
to address this.
Yeah,
and so in this particular case, we're in the on time period. That means the first 6 months of this year, and we start with that. So that's why we're saying what we're saying. Many, many forecasts that we make on live radio are all related to a reflected wave, and then we start from there and we work our way down to various smaller time frames, etc., for us to take advantage of the individual, you know, pieces of that, the smaller tops and bottoms along the way that we can then take advantage of. Very similar to what we did with the monthly top in crude and then the January top and then the February 13th daily top subsequent and inside of that monthly top, and that got us all short. And that's, you know, the predictability isn't the trade. The predictability gets you set up, and then you have to decide, this is not a trading system, this is a methodology, reflected wave, but in the end, you make it your own, and you figure out how you want to make that work in your own trading. So we start with these larger time frames, and we work our way down to the smaller. And we do have as you probably know, we have a March 16th and 17th seminar coming up for Reflected Wave at the Mirage Hotel here in Las Vegas. So this is where we do that. And then for the last 7 years, we've been on the radio giving out these tops and bottoms on these various markets. And it's really a big part of my trading. It doesn't have to necessarily – you don't have to have this methodology to do well in trading. I really want to make that clear because so many people have so many different ways of trading the markets. But for me, turning points has always been important. I always had a thing for them, even from the very beginning. And because of that, it is important to me. So if turning points are your thing, if that's something that really turns you on, no pun intended, then you might want to consider looking at Reflected Wave, because it is a very big part of what I do, both on the radio and what we do in our individual trading here. So if you want, Dwayne, we'll move on over to the I know we're running a little late here today. We'll move over to gold. Just again, I know some of us have heard this, but I'll repeat it quickly. We've been forecasting a March bottom in the gold market, and we are going to be trading that accordingly. I won't go into all the details right now because we're running a little short on time. So far, the bottom has been put in February. February 21st was the low. The last forecast bottom that we put out was for March 1st. In gold. The market's just moved sideways. It's moved up some, a little bit, very, very little, but it still is trading above the March 1st bottom. We're keeping an eye on that as well. So this, again, is us looking at the shorter term inside the larger term with regard to Reflected Wave. It's beautiful, it's very effective, and it can be very helpful in risk control. And we'll talk about that more another time. Let's see. Let's move through the gold. So that's the bigger picture for gold.
Okay.
We also, for the Treasury bond market, had been forecasting on the program a February bottom for the market, and they did make a bottom in February. They're pulling back now from a recent top they put in here, but we believe that the bond market is likely going to continue higher for a few months, actually, and that's going to keep interest rates low. So we can talk about the individual trades and such as we get to them, but I'm going to kind of run through these a little quicker than usual.
Wes had a question for you on the bonds.
Please.
Back on February 26th, you said bonds could go to 149. Is that on yet?
149 is a natural number for bonds. Natural means that it's not related to a contract month. So there are certain numbers that you'd say, oh, you better switch over to March or April, whatever the contract is, and better get your number straight. 149 is a number that's not a contract-relatable number. It's just an important number in the bond market. The bonds trade a little unusually. You know, they trade in 30 seconds, and so there's a little bit of a different twist on the bond market. But in short, we do expect the February monthly bottom to continue to – that's a bullish thing, and that the market would normally have a multi-month advance off that bottom. It's already completed the initial targets, the 145s and so on that we had talked about, but the next larger target is up at 149, and that is something we call a natural number. It's a number that's irrespective of futures contracts. It's just a number that's important. And we think this market is going to tend to go higher towards that number over the next several months. So this pullback here is actually, we think, is buying territory. We'll put the market into buying territory for further advance. So I hope that answers the question.
Okay.
And then for euro, you know, we've been talking about the euro, but just to get some of the new people up to date, we had forecast a February top on the radio here for euro, and we had two main price targets on the downside, very distant from each other, quite tradable, and many of our subscribers did trade this, of course, and we did as well in some way. This was a call for the market to top and to decline down to 133.85 initially, and then if it broke 133.06, it would straight line decline down to 129.74 or so. And it did all of that. And it would touch that in the month of March. The 129.74 was part of that forecast. So we're in March now. We have completed all that. And we are not, we don't have any new outlook. In fact, we're trading at 129.87 now. So nearby that number. We're not, we don't have any new forecast just at this point for the euro having completed that big move down, but we're going to have a new forecast for it. And you may get that on the radio program here, at least the initial part of it. But euros had a big, big decline off this. Really nice currencies are really, many of them are very, very powerful trending markets. You can really put together, if you're a trend follower, if you know how to do that, you might think it's easy. But in a way, trend following is easy. It actually isn't rocket science, but it's also psychologically can be very difficult to do on a consistent basis. So I've learned that myself. So for those of you who know what we're talking about, you know, you can smile and say, I know what he's talking about. Yeah, trend following is a difficult strategy. And so the people that can do it well, you know, they earn their money by doing that. And let's see, there's a couple other markets we'll get to, and I'm sorry if I'm rushing here. One other thing I want to mention, we've talked about before, but the Australian dollar also has a March bottom. That we've been forecasting. They completed their downside target, which was about 101.63 or something like that. We gave out on the program a couple months ago, and the market has come down to touch that. March is a bottom that we think is going to have a multi-month advance as well. So you can see there's a lot of repeats here with the March stuff. That's an important thing. Now, one last thing I will say about this market is, and I'm talking about the Australian dollar, is that its next top is due on March 7th, and it's likely that top came in one day early today. So there would be a multi-day sideways to lower movement. That movement we're going to kind of look at as a way to get into for longer-term long positions in this market, because we do have the longer-term talking about going higher. So, you know, keep that in mind. I have a couple last markets here, and then we'll get out of the way here. Nothing new on soybeans for us today on the longer-term. We recently had a long position in soybeans that we're out of. And let me just give my computer a moment here to catch up to me, because I'm zipping through this thing pretty darn quick. And this page has some newer markets that we're keeping an eye on it. Okay, so nothing new in soybeans. Somebody else may have something in soybeans, but for the longer term, we're holding off just now. The dollar is roughly the inverse of the euro, so keep that in mind. We won't go over the dollar right here. I think that might be everything that we have. I do have something on cocoa, but I'm going to save that. That's institutional stuff. I'm sorry?
Crude?
Oh, let's go back to crude. Thank you for reminding me on that. I forgot to address that. You know, everybody knows, so we might as well. We've had this out long enough. We tried to keep it a secret for a while, but I wanted as many people in this as possible, because we felt that it was a very valuable roadmap. And a roadmap is a forecast for a very highly specific forecast for price movement and so on. So, the original forecast for crude was for it to bottom in early December at or near 85, rally up to a 95 or higher top in January, and then decline an initial $10,000 per contract down, and then have a potential bounce, and then a further decline for another $10,000 per contract. I mean, these are huge moves. So all of that has happened, because the forecast originally came out in December 3rd. We talked about it first on this program back then. The top that was made in the crude oil market just a few weeks back, as a matter of fact, I'm staring at the euro here, so I need to get over to the crude. Give me 1 minute. The top occurred at $98.66, and the recent low was $89.33. So we've declined $9,300 per contract against the initial forecast for the initial move down of $10,000 per contract. I want to remind you of something, and you've heard this before and it almost sounds metaphysical, but money is like energy. It's in order to get money, you have to express energy. You have to dig a ditch, or you have to do work. You have to defend somebody in court. You have to sell a product and so on. You have to make an effort. Even a bank robber has to make an effort to get money. There's no way you can get money without making an effort. So it's a result of energy. You could say that about many things, but money, we're focusing in on money here because it's the way that we express, I'm going to give you something of value. It has energy contained in that. I had to do this much work to get this $50, or like Dwayne said, his $79 that he wanted to give to Amazon. Well, Dwayne had to go get $79, and the way he did that is by expressing energy. And then once he expressed that energy, he got paid in another form of energy, so to speak, which is a dollar. So the reason I'm saying this is because one of the ways that I think about markets is that when they move up and down, they are obviously they're gaining or losing value. And value is an expression of energy. Like energy, high energy would be high value, low energy would be low value. So you'll hear us sometimes talk about, well, we're expecting the market to decline $10,000 per contract. Well, there's a reason for that, because that is reflective of energy. That decline and the way that I think about it. And sometimes I'll talk about it in points or whatever, but I actually think of it in terms of dollars. That's why people have asked me for years on PageTrader, why do you say, instead of saying it's at, you know, $1,156.50 on the S&P, you always say $1,156.50. And most traders don't talk in those terms about where the S&P is. It actually is at, like if we look at the S&P right now,
right.
I mean, as a matter of fact, in the March right now is trading at $1,541.50, but it's actually $1,541.25. That's actually the real number. It's actually a dollar figure.
That is correct.
That is where it is. And so the reason so I've always thought in dollars, and so people have said many times, you know, if we don't talk that way, because I've always thought in terms of the dollar value and the energy content. This has been something that's just been in the back of my mind for a long time. So if you're new, and I'm just addressing this because you may be new, it may sound strange to say we're looking for a move of 10,000 per contract, but that actually means something to me, that 10,000, because I relate it to energy and in our particular technical work. So we're looking for the market. Therefore, the crude to go down. It's done 9,300 of the 10,000. There may well be a bounce on or around that area, that $10,000 per contract. But then we're looking to see a continued move down of an additional 10,000, so that we're looking for a total move down to about $78 at or near that level by the time, or lower by the time this move is done. With Hugo Chavez, you know, for some people, unfortunate death and so on. That maybe adds fuel to the fire now. You know, the trend's already underway and so on. So that's what we're looking for in crude, is further decline. It's done everything it's supposed to do according to this, and we'll see how it plays out in the end. But we are going to continue to address it. We have institutional people that are involved. Bert is trading. Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading. You might want to write this phone number down. I want to give Bert's number out because we actually utilize Bert, so does Dwayne. To have certain customers may want to just go out and do something and have somebody else trade these indications, whatever indications, Dwayne's or ours, or anybody on the program.
Bert's phone number. 928-3310. And I will put it in the chat box for you guys as well.
Yeah, it's worth having the number because he can help you and will help you without you having to have an account. But we've been involved with him along with Dwayne for a number of years. He knows what he's doing, and he can be very useful to you in putting trades together if you're not going to be in front of the screen. So anyway, so that's basically our outlook on crude is we remain bearish. We're only roughly halfway down to where we think the market is going. And, you know, we do, I just, forgive the sales pitch, but we do have an institutional product that people can call us and ask about. And here's our phone number, 888-231-4702. You can ask us about it. The product is available to people who can do overnight margin positions, that your account size would have to be roughly 25,000 or so in order to be in a number of these trades at the same time. And that's because there's usually several of these things going at one time. So you might consider that, but if you're interested and want to take a listen to it, you're more than welcome to give us a call and see if that's something that's useful in your trading. So I think, Dwayne, that's everything we have. The crude is probably the most interesting right now because it's underway. Many people would not want to short this here because what would they say? It's already gone down too much. That's what they would say.
It can't go any lower.
Can't go any lower. So I'll just step aside and wait for the next buy signal or whatever. So the markets have a way of doing T teaching you to do actually the wrong thing. The markets have a way of doing that. And you might want to look over your own trading and see if you've been trained by the market to sort of wag the dog a little bit. And that is something that is a good idea to check from time to time, that it's not training you in the wrong way to do things. Like as an example, a lot of the really best moves, easiest trades, happen once a move is underway. And a lot of us like to trade at the edges, you know, right at the tops and bottoms. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But many people will not trade in the middle of a move because they just can't fathom having to sit through something. But in many, many cases, if you know a little bit about the markets, you can get into the midpoints of moves and have very little trouble and have a very, very nice trade. And in fact, the second legs of moves are often much, much easier to hold on to than the first leg. So stuff for you to consider. The market kind of trains people to not do that. And it trains you to do many other things that you maybe shouldn't do. There should be a book maybe about all the things the market trains you to do as a trader that you end up practicing those things and you end up going, oh, why am I having so much trouble? It's because you've been trained by the devil himself. So, you know, in terms of, you know, the market telling you to do these things, which you kind of pick up over time. And it's one thing to pick up a methodology and understand a principle and trade that principle. It's another thing to be trading out of fear of something. You're not really trading in off of principles, then you're trading off of what you're afraid of. And there's a big difference. So we also have another person for those of you that are new, Robin Dane, who is a trading coach who comes on this program. She's usually on almost every day. She has a program on here as well, and it's called Coach's Corner. And if you want to talk through problems that you've had with trading, in many cases they're psychological or they're blocks, you feel like you can't get past something, you might just want to give her a call and let her see what she says to you, and sometimes just laying out your problem can be very useful, even to you. Just hearing yourself say it sometimes can clarify things for yourself. So you might want to use her. Now, Dwayne, does she come back tomorrow, or when is she going to be back?
You know, David, I think she may not be back until Monday.
Okay. So if you guys stay on and listen through Monday, you'll get a chance to hear her. And don't let her her little bouncy voice fool you. She does know quite a bit about what she's talking about when it comes to coaching traders. I know her personally, and it's not out of friendship that I'm saying that. I don't really have a direct friendship with her. I just know her professionally, but I have gotten a chance to see, and I've had lunch with her on several occasions here in Las Vegas, and I think she knows what she's doing. So.
And you can go out to the blog, guys, at CFRN, go to the blog, and we've done 11... Coach's Corners, that's a Friday afternoon program we do every Friday at 3 Eastern. We may not do it this Friday, but we'll be back again next Friday. But you can go listen to those podcasts. There's 11 of them. Each one runs about an hour, so that'll keep you busy for an afternoon. And you can get to know Robin before she comes back.
Yeah. So there you are. So, Dwayne, I think that's everything that I have. I look forward to being here with you tomorrow, and I hope that...
Do you have anything on copper? Wall Street article today says the highest output in 13 years. Got anything?
I'm sorry, was it in copper?
Mm-hmm.
We do, but actually I'm going to save that, you know, I have to save that one for the subscribers. Okay. We do have something setting up in copper, and it's so interesting how the news cycle plays into these things. You know, now suddenly there's big news or some kind of news on copper coming out, and I'm glad somebody alerted me to that. But we do, and I'm gonna just leave that one on the table for the time being. Later, after our institutional guys are in, I would be very happy to give subsequent entries for this to that move that's coming. So I hope you all understand. But you know, there's certain things that we can say and certain things that we have to keep private for the subscribers. So
right,
hard for me to even say it because I love to give it all out, but you know, I just can't. So
all right, buddy.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me on. Wonderful to hear and see everybody. And I, Dwayne, look forward to seeing you and the rest of everyone tomorrow.
All right, Dave. See you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
See you then. Thanks. You too.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day.
right, guys, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us. We're back to the S&P 500 here on the chart in front of you. We got a retweet out there. If you're not already long the S&P, you might consider being long above 1542. Let it get above this little hitch right here. See this? See this pullback that held? Okay, now we blew through it that time. We just want to make sure, we want to know if that's going to hold as resistance. Okay, there's a chance it could. And it's simply a matter of looking left. Okay, look over here. See? Just walk across the chart. Now, so that's why the tweet says, if you're not already long, consider being long above this area, which is 1542. You'll notice our cycle indicator down here is, it's red and headed down, but it's poised to turn blue and head up. Now, when that thing turns blue and heads up, we want to be long when that happens. We don't use this indicator here to get us into a trade. We use it as a confirmation tool that lets us know that the trade we got into up here, based upon whatever indicators we happen to be using at the time, this is a confirmation that lets us know we're on the right side of the market. And so we will tend to stay in that trade. As long as the cycle supports our trade, we'll stay in that trade until we get to the next weekly trading zone. And as you can see, our highest weekly trading zone for this week is 1554/55. Now, the weekly trading zones go out to the CFRN partners every Monday morning prior to the market opening. Okay? Once they're out, they're carved in stone. They don't change for the entire week. What does change is the dynamic support and resistance. This is fixed support and resistance. That's based on previous price action. Last week, the week before that, back into infinity. The dynamic support and resistance, and I'll show you what that looks like. We'll go over here. This is the gold chart. We'll just start with that. Now, we blew through resistance and support on a daily chart. Let's come back down to an hourly chart. And we'll open it up a little bit. Okay. Resistance. Red dots. Now, these print live in real time. Once they print, they don't go away. I know there are some. And also, this indicator is not based on price. It's based upon other factors. Okay, there are other factors in the market than just price, and that's what these are based on. And whereas the weekly trading zones tell you ahead of time where we expect to find support and or resistance, these tell you in real time where we're actually finding it, okay, based upon an algorithm. So resistance, support, resistance, support. Again, this is an hourly chart. Resistance. So the next thing in the sequence will be support. We will look to find support. Oh, did I say this was gold? I'm sorry, this is crude. So the next thing we would look for is support. Okay. Now the cycle indicator, you can see here on this hourly chart, look how it tracked this move down. Once we broke, see, we spiked above the dynamic resistance for 4 or 5 hours, got back below it, our cycle indicator synced up, turned red, headed down. Nice move and crude. Now we can go over to any market. We go over to the ES, the S&P 500. On an hourly chart, now, see, we had dynamic support, resistance. We blew through the dynamic resistance. That will happen. And when it does, it sets you up for a very nice trade. In this case, we're now, 2 days into that very nice trade. It blew through dynamic resistance at a price of $15.1675. And that was on Monday. We continued higher Tuesday. We continued higher. Now, I would think that the next thing you're going to see is, you know, some kind of resistance up here. But that's not the case. Actually, what you'll see are green dots. Now, you can go to any time frame. You can drop this down. You can go out to a 4-hour. You can come down to 15 minutes. See, on the ES, we found dynamic resistance on the 15-minute chart right up at the high, 1544.75, and then support, dynamic support printed today at 1538.75. We spiked below it just a little bit, spiked down to 1537.25, but we're starting to build back above it again. And remember, that number that we had on the tweet is 1542. And now we were looking at that on a larger time frame, hourly chart. So keep in mind why that 1542 is important. But it doesn't matter the market. As you can see, you just change out your symbol, go to the Dow. And here we have support. The next thing we'll look for on this 15-minute chart will be for it to print dynamic resistance. Here's an example again of broken resistance. Now, this was the Dow getting very quiet overnight. Support, resistance, and then we blew through that resistance to the upside. Okay. Back down to support. And the Dow and the S&P will pretty much mirror each other. We'll go to a different. We'll actually put it on gold this time. There we go. So here's gold. This is on an hourly chart. Resistance, support, resistance. What's the next thing we have to find? Support, which it blew through. And then see how it hit the resistance? Back to the support. And then that enabled you to participate in this pretty big move on an hourly chart. In 1 hour, this thing blew up from 1571.30 all the way to 1584, and it's on its way back down. If you're a Fib person and you want to put some Fibs on that move, you certainly can. It has pulled back a little better than 50%. Almost a 62% retracement on that move. We don't use Fibs as a part of our trade setups, but you certainly can if you've spent time and or money learning about Fibonacci. And I mean, there's no denying the existence of the golden ratio in life and in all things living. Certainly shows itself in the market. The difficulty there is when someone attempts to use it as a standalone trading tool, you can run into some trouble. When you're using it as a confirmation tool, now you've got something that can really, you know, perhaps bring value. I've written a few articles. You can go out and read them on the blog or a number of different websites on the internet. You can find those. But my suggestion is if you haven't already invested the time and money in learning Fibonacci, you can truly, honestly, I don't mean to short sell anything, but you can learn the basics and what you need to know in a couple hours. Okay, you're going to have to get the indicator out. You're going to have to play around with it. You're going to be amazed at how often a move does pull back 38, 50, or 62%. Okay. Now, depending upon the size of the move, that can be a big area. Okay. Question is this Fib going to hold? Well, you don't know. But that's okay. The fact that you know you're there, right? Just like with this move here, where it came back to this 50% and on the spike almost went to the 62. You just come here and take a little trend line tool, draw it down across these tops. Yeah, there we go. You say, well, that spiked a little bit above. That's all right. We're just trying to get an idea, just a visual aid. So it held 1 hour, 2 hours. On the third hour, it's actually getting above this little trend line I just put on. So, you know, you could go look at the high of this candle, which is 1576.90. You could say, all right, 76.90, tell you what. This thing gets back over the 38, which is at, what is it, 78 and a quarter, looks like. The 77.30. You know, if it gets back over the 38, I'm interested in being long. So you could buy the market on a stop at 15. You could go 78, right? Just go 15. You know, 15.78. I'm long on a stop, and I'm only looking to get back up to the swing high at 84. That's a $6 move. That's a very reasonable type of trade. Here you've got dynamic support supporting the move. You've got a break of a trend line to the upside. You're good to go. Okay. We could layer other things onto the chart. We could come over here and go to our indicators, and we could put on our BBC. It's pretty flat right here in this hourly. Anytime your BBC goes flat like that. Here, let's see if we can't. Yeah, that's a little too flat and a little too quiet for me. We'll bump this thing up to a higher time frame, and or I'm talking a smaller time frame. And we'll move around to a different market. Okay, this is I'm going to put this on a volume chart. 10,000 contracts. Now, what that means in the S&P, or any market that you would use it on, is that each one of these candles represents 10,000 contracts trading hands. I really like the 10,000 contract chart because it shows me volume, time, and price all in one candle. Okay. Now, there's no true time element involved. In other words, how long will it be before I get the next candle? Well, right here you can see it's counting it down by the contract. Say, once 10,000 contracts change hands, I'm going to get a new candle. Well, how long will that be? Well, however long it takes for somebody to transact 8,676 contracts. See it counting them down up there? There went 6, there went 3, there went 1. Okay. All right. The dynamic resistance. Let me show you here. Support, resistance, support, resistance. You'll find this indicator works really, really well on a volume-based chart like this. Support, resistance, support, resistance. Now here we had a bearish cross on the 10,000 contract chart. We had a pull away, we had a pull back. So our entry, if we were trading our 10,000 contract chart with our indicator set, would have been, now you've got dynamic support here. So here's the thing, if you're going to use indicator-based trading, you're probably better off to leave your dynamic support and resistance off because it's going to prevent you from getting into a lot of trades. So if you're using price action, these red and green dots are great tools. If you're using indicators, again, great tools, but they're going to keep you out of a lot of trades. See, knowing that we have dynamic support here, the chance of us taking this trade are going to be greatly reduced. The entry would have been 1576 and a quarter, and it dropped down to 6640. Okay, so again, 76 let's say we got in at 1576. It dropped down to 66. That's a 10-point move. Did I get that right? 76? 66. Yeah. It's a 10-point move in the S&P. You really don't want to miss that kind of a move. However, you could say, okay, my signal to go short is right here to the tick. You know the exact entry price, and I know there's support right here, so I'm simply going to be prepared to take my profits, if I have any, before or at dynamic support. Had you done that, you would have missed this hour's action right here, but you would have still had a relatively tidy profit on that particular move. So I just wanted to cover that indicator. Our toolbox has a number of indicators in it that you won't see used in the live trading room each morning, but they are there, and you can go out to CFRN, you can actually watch videos from the CFRN site, but you can go straight to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/CFRN. Number of videos there. In fact, hours and hours of videos covering some of the other indicators, some of the other trade setups that we have and that partners have access to in our video training library. You can also go to youtube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. All one word. youtube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. There's a couple hundred videos there. Primarily, those are the daily video recaps. But you can go through there and have a look. And then if you have any questions, just send an email to support@cfrn.net. If you're about to take the free trial, you need any help getting your platform set up, you know, your charts going, your indicators indicating, call Bert or Leslie toll-free, 866-928-3310. They'll be more than happy to assist you in any way that they can. To take the free trial, you simply go out to cfrn.net/apply. In fact, I will put it here in the chat room for you. Now, if you've taken the free trial in the past, and for whatever reason, you weren't able to take full advantage of it, or it wasn't until the last few days that you realized you really should have downloaded the platform and installed the indicators and used the simulator to put on and take off trades the way we suggested, but you just, you know, you weren't crazy motivated until, before you knew it, the trial was over and you wish you had. Now, if that's you, when you try to go take the free trial, it's going to say, you already done this. That's okay. We understand life happens, all right? So yeah, as long as you're not a serial retaker, we're known to give a second chance. Send an email to support@cfrn.net, and the subject line of your email, just put second chance, please. And then maybe give us one line, one paragraph. We don't need a novella, but just a little, you know, hey, I took the trial and, you know, I had to go to the dentist or whatever, you know, whatever the reason was. And then, barring any unforeseen circumstances, we'll go ahead and work with you on a free trial based upon your commitment that this time you'll actually show up every day, you'll download the platform, install the indicators, because we want you to be able to ask good quality questions. The reason for that, the reason that we want you to ask good questions is because at the end of a week, you're going to be confronted with a decision. Do you want to become a CFRN partner and all that that entails? Well, we want you to be able to make a well-informed decision. The only way you can make a well-informed decision is if you have downloaded the platform, if you have installed the indicators, and if you have attempted to put on and take off trades using our methodology. If you have, then the decision is really quite simple. It's a yay or a nay. If you haven't done those things, then you're uncertain. And we don't want you to be uncertain. So by all means, do take the free trial. Do download the platform. Do install the indicators. Now keep in mind, we use a double opt-in process because we hate spam as much as you do. So when you go in and fill out that little thing to take the free trial, no credit cards are required, just your name and an email. The robot is going to send you out a confirmation email. No humans involved. And because a robot sends it out, it's probably or possibly going to go into your spam folder, your bulk folder, your promotions folder. Whatever email client you use, it probably has a folder where it sends things that were generated by a robot. Okay? So you have to find that email, wherever your email client hides it. You have to click the link that says, yeah, I really do want to take the free trial. Now, once you click that link, then I'm notified that you've confirmed, at which point I spring into action and I personally send you out an email that has the link to the live trading room, the password to get in, the link to download the platform, install the indicators, some videos to watch, ton of stuff, all right? That one email will have enough information in it to keep you busy all afternoon. And then if you go out to some of the YouTube channels and start watching videos, you'll probably fall asleep at your desk, so set an alarm to wake you up for the live trading room tomorrow morning, okay? One more time, that address, it's in the chat box, cfrn.net/apply. All right. That's it, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.